This is July the 3rd, 2022. The Gospel is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near." I want us to look today at the meaning and the purpose of our lives. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are here because you gave us life. We pray now that your word will come into our hearts, that we will grow in our knowledge of you, in our service of you, in our glory of your name, and in our discipleship. Amen. So Jesus said, "Go ahead to every town where I am going. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Some years ago, George Gallup, in one of his polls, asked people what they wanted from life. And what was important to most people was that their life would have meaning, that they would matter in some way, they would have significance. Augustine famously quote said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And thus Jesus said of himself that he had come to give eternal life, abundant life, that he came to satisfy our hunger for meaning, to quench our thirst for satisfaction. In our society, what occupies people's attention? Entertainment, sports, gambling, sex, buying stuff. Stuff we don't even need, closets full of clothes that are barely, if ever, worn, garages full of tools that are never used, off-road vehicles that never actually go off-road. We acquire so much that we have to rent storage lockers to keep the stuff we don't have room for at home. Truly, our lives can so easily become, as Macbeth says, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It is the life spoken of by the Lord Christ when he talked about the dangers of materialism. In Luke 12, he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores things for himself, but is not rich toward God. We urgently need to ask of ourselves, am I this fool? And not just once, either. Self-examination in the light of Scripture is a vital spiritual exercise. Jesus is brutally clear. If you follow him, you have life, wonderful life. If you don't follow him, you lose your life. We are all of us going into eternity. But eternity where? Heaven or hell? The true meaning of life that God intended when he created us is found by us only in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son commands us to be his disciples and to make disciples. And please let us be certain, sure, there is no place in heaven for one who says, well, that's not for me. I'll just come to church when it suits, say my prayers, do good works, and be respectable and moral. The New Testament is not at all shy about proclaiming these warnings of a life ill spent. In our epistle today, we see it expressed in black and white in Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. When we simply pursue our own desires, our own plans, our own ambitions, we suffer. When we devote ourselves to following Jesus, we reap eternal life and eternal meaning. Everything that I have said thus far is found encapsulated in our Old Testament set reading about Naaman. Naaman is us, and we are Naaman. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. He has so much going for him, but he had leprosy. Each one of us has such potential, but we have this fatal flaw. In the Bible, leprosy is used to represent sin. Leprosy separates man from fellow man. Sin separates us from God. Back then, of course, leprosy had no cure except from God. Our sin has no cure except through the Lord Jesus Christ. But such is our nature that we don't want to accept this. We don't want to accept that we have spiritual leprosy. Nor do we want to accept that there is only one cure for which we must hunger and thirst. When Elisha tells Naaman that all he has to do is bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, Naaman is not at all receptive. He's not at all impressed. He points out that there are rivers in his homeland that are far superior to the muddy little Jordan. He's going to go and try one of those. Modern man is no different. Think of all the so-called alternative spiritualities that are bandied about. We'll say, well, we'll try one of those. We don't need the Christian gospel. We can do this by ourselves. And anyway, what we're doing is not even leprosy. Fortunately, Naaman's servants prevailed on him to do as Elisha said, and he was completely cured. What will cleanse us then from the leprosy of sin that separates us from God? The blood of Christ. Think of the words from the Holy Communion. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. When we embrace Christ crucified, we are no longer separated from God, and our lives are given new meaning as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, I pointed out that the Holy Communion is a covenant meal. God says, I will do such and such. I will give the life of my Son to give you salvation. And in return, you give me your life in obedience and dedication to him. And last week I invited you to think about what Christ has done for you and then what you are doing for Christ in return. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What then are you reaping in the garden of your life? What are you sowing? How wonderful it is when Christ comes into our lives and guides us. There is simply no greater meaning. There is simply no greater significance than this. So as we examine our lives today and look at our response, our submission to Christ, let us also look very carefully at what else we need to release to him. Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May God's peace, may the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ grow more and more in our lives as we learn of him and follow him. Let us seek the Lord to call us out of all the entanglements in our life which are not of him, so that we may be able to be obedient. Lord, grant us knowledge, grant us holiness, grant us to glorify you. Amen.